Well, I think at some point or time or another, we've all received invitations to attend a wedding, maybe many weddings over the years, and to go and be a guest. You know, I think we all realize, you know, weddings are special occasions. They're things that we go to celebrate with other people, maybe their family, their friends, but they're things to celebrate and rejoice in. And I think that's why Scripture often uses the picture or images of weddings, because God definitely blesses weddings, and it's something that we join our hearts in to recognize. There's that beautiful passage in Revelation that says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Heaven itself is described as a wedding banquet. So Jesus uses this festival picture of a wedding banquet to put forth the simple question, are you coming or not? Are you part of this or not? A little background into this gospel lesson for today. It's told during the Monday or Tuesday of Holy Week, the week of Jesus' crucifixion. And while in Jerusalem that week, the religious leaders challenged Jesus' authority because of some things that he had did and things that he had said. And so in response to what they were kind of challenging him with, he tells them a series of parables or stories, ending with this particular one, confronting them with their plot to kill him and also showing them the gracious heart of God. So in this parable, this wedding and the invitation to attend was a picture of God's grace, and you see it come out over and over and over. As with the wedding, an invitation sent out, this particular wedding is a little different than most because it's a royal wedding. It's the king who has a son that's getting married, and so the invitation probably incredibly special. What an honor to be invited to be a part of the king's son's wedding. So who wouldn't want to attend a royal wedding and be a part of the celebration? And I think the way the parable is told from Jesus, it's intended that we too would maybe be tracking with us to see how we would respond if the invitation were to come. They were invited. The invitation was sent long before the celebration so that people would have plenty of time to prepare themselves for the event, to make sure they wouldn't miss it. That's the way it is. I think oftentimes we get a wedding invitation sometimes a few months in advance. But then we put it on the refrigerator, put it in the other stack of mail with the best of intentions through RSVP. Sometimes we forget, we need that reminder. But something different here. But in this story, those who got the invitation saw it, but they were not willing. It says they refused the invitation. No, not going. And they missed out. And then what the king does is a total surprise, because any ordinary king would be so highly offended and insulted if that invitation was rejected, but not him. The king shows amazing grace, amazing patience. And the king actually says, all right, we'll just send it out again. And repeats the invitation after it had been turned down. And again, the people were made aware of the wedding banquet. Second invitation goes out to announce that the banquet is ready and just come. It says, but they paid no attention and went off. They were preoccupied, as it says, with the here and now. No concern. No concern for God's kingdom. I have other things to do. Two of those who turned the invitation down are mentioned. One had to take care of his land, and the other had to attend to his business affairs. And each found more satisfaction in those particular things than accepting the king's grace and favor offered at his son's wedding. and they treated the divine call with just total indifference. And the indifferent response in verse 5 describes Israel at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry and how some people responded to the ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus and his disciples. And then even more bizarre, there's another group. They're labeled the rest. And it says they lay hold of the king's messengers, mistreated, and even killed them. And you say, well, who does that? Again, this is a story that Jesus is trying to tell to make a point. Nobody does that. But we see it played out in Scripture. These leaders approved John the Baptist's death at the hands of Herod Antipas. They were the ones that instigated Jesus' crucifixion. They initiated the persecution of the early church. They all neglected and rejected the invitation. We come to realize that the king's or God's patience has limits. It says the destruction on those murderers, talked about the destruction of the murderers and the burning of their city, had a literal fulfillment. And the literal fulfillment was in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Romans came in and completely obliterated the place. Nothing left of it. Verses 8 through 10 describes the present age. Invitation goes out again. More people. Again, God's grace and mercy. Well, there's got to be some other people we can invite. That's where his heart's at. So basically, we are now invited. And since God's invitation was refused by those who could not be bothered, he doesn't give up. Is there anyone else we can invite? The invitation list to be a part of the kingdom is filled with those who are perhaps maybe not deserving of such honor, but it goes out. They're the invited guests, not because of some worthiness or merit in themselves, but purely as a result of God's gracious invitation, his righteousness that he provides. It says both good and bad. Both groups include some who are morally evil, some who are morally good. Invitation goes out. This group responds. Go invite everyone. Everyone from the highways and the byways of life. Those who had been labeled wicked, those who had been labeled good, they come. So the moment when the king steps in to see the guests is, in a sense, the climax of this entire parable. All else leads up to that moment. And he came in to see the entire scene and looked at all the guests at the tables of his royal son's wedding. So no one would have thought it possible that among these many guests so graciously invited, one would dare to come in with his own clothes on and not wearing a wedding garment like the rest. And the king can't help it, but his eyes just kind of focus right on that particular person, and he notices the man's garments, and they're stained and a mess when compared to the others. This man has no wedding garment. And all the rest were wearing what had been graciously provided for them by the king himself, which were greater than anything they could afford on their own. So they were given party clothes to wear, and they were all wearing them. But the man had ignored the basic obligation placed on him when he accepted the king's gracious invitation. He was supposed to put on clean clothes. But he came with soiled clothes, which would have been totally insulting. He was wearing his own clothes. He came on his own terms. He didn't want to wear what was provided for him. And so it says when this person was asked how he came in without the garment, it says he was speechless. He had nothing to say. So to not wear the garment meant that one would be seen for who they truly are and judged accordingly. So the refuse to put on it on would mean a refusal of Christ's sacrifice or arrogance in believing, I don't need that. I don't need that garment. See, if we want to enter Christ's banquet, we must put on, in a sense, the party clothes, the righteousness he gives us. And his refusal resulted in his being sent out of the banquet hall, not allowed to participate in the festivities of the wedding. There's a lot of missing out because of refusal, indifference, hostility. But you see, the calling of God, the invitation of God, and his grace may be accepted or it can be rejected. No one's forced to accept it. The king is looking for the wedding garment, Christ's righteousness embraced, put on by faith. The invitation's for all people. You know, what could be missed? Scripture is filled with the invitations that God gives to people. They're from him. Very personal. Always sent in love. The Old Testament lesson for today in Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9, beautifully describes what's offered. And what Jesus is offering in his meal is quite different. He says, on this mountain, you get this, as opposed to what you get in this place. Incredible blessings offered and served. It says here, the Lord serves. There's no human action going on. God serves. And all receive what God graciously provides. It's for all people. Just because he wants to share, just because he wants to give. The best of wine, the finest of meat, rich compassion, wonderful forgiveness, everything that you could ever take in that would satisfy your soul. And the other thing is, says, there's no sorrow or no grieving. It says he will swallow up death forever. When we swallow something, it kind of disappears. It doesn't exist anymore. It says God swallowed up death. And because of that, the tears stop flowing. Tears are wiped away. And it's a beautiful picture of what God provides. And you say, well, that's a pretty good prize to get in the meal that he offers. It's quite the real meal deal. And he says, don't miss out on this, because it's for all people who just simply want to come and eat. It's provided for all people. You know, we look at this and say, all right, we understand here. These are people who just flat out rejected Jesus and said they don't want him or they don't want the gospel and just leave me alone. Let me just live my own life the way I want to live it. All right, we understand that and the results and the consequences. But I think there's something else being said here in this passage too, in this parable, that we all need to take away. And that is, God so doesn't want us just to miss out. And we can trust Christ as our Savior and embrace him by faith and say, yeah, I need a Savior. Doesn't mean we still don't miss out on things. There's so many people they just say, all right, I do this, but maybe they miss out on what they could have gotten if they were a part of a small group or a Bible study or that regular time each and every day of just a devotion time or a prayer time. Or close Christian friends that they look out for each other and encourage each other along the way. And the things that we sometimes could have and benefit from, we don't have. We miss out on that because we've chosen, for whatever reason, just to not participate, not to share in. Doesn't mean we've lost our salvation, but I think in a lot of ways we miss out. We miss out on things that could be really helpful to us as we go through life. You know, I all the time I just hear stories and see situations where I said, that's got to hurt. to experience this in life or to go through this thing or that thing and not be a part of something where you can get some extra strength from? And how do people get through this without these kinds of things? It's what Jesus is offering at this meal. The best. And he says, hey, it's for everyone. So I hope as we go through this parable today, we leave with at least understanding this too. Yeah, we understand it. It's not, don't reject Jesus. But let's try not also to just kind of, you know, miss out because we choose not to take advantage of the things that he's offering us on a regular, ongoing, everyday basis, which can so benefit our souls and so benefit our lives. So he says, accept the invitation. In Isaiah, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Why? Because it's always free. And there, in the end, almost the last statement in Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Again, free. The very thing that can be what your soul needs. It's free. Available. For us who know Christ, the party's already begun. It's already begun. Grace garmented us with party clothes. We have the clothes already on. And grace waits and continues to offer the invitation to join in. And what a great thing, too, when we can invite other people to join. Because the door's open for them, too. To help other people join in and understand what's provided for them. In God's mercy and grace at his banquet that he so freely wants to share from. Good news for all of us as we accept that invitation to receive his gifts of love and grace and mercy for us. Good stuff. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.